He's speaking to us this evening on the subject New Year, New You. And he's asked as an introduction that we take Psalm 72 and we start in verse 12 and we read to verse 19. Psalm 72, starting at verse 12. Psalm 72. He shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that has no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name for ever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. To ask Paul to speak to us on New Year, New You.
Good evening. We're just about to finish 2017, and we're just under 6 hours away from a brand new year. And it's at this point that many people start to look on the year just leaving and think about what they could do differently next year to better themselves. So they make a New Year's resolution. And there are many different resolutions that can be made. I'm sure we've all tried to make them at some point or another in our lives and probably heard them all before, but a couple of examples are, some people make a resolution to travel more, to go and see more of the world, get more experiences of different cultures. Some people make a resolution to lose weight. Having a healthier lifestyle can have many good effects on you as a person. The title of tonight's talk, New Year, New Me, a lot of people make that one. They resolve to be different person to the year they were, to the person that they were in the year has just gone. Or your resolution could be something as simple as buying less shoes. How many times do these resolutions get broken? How many times do people realize that within a few days that the resolution that they have made to themselves, that they've already gone against it? How many people make the same resolution year after year? And a study was done into New Year's resolutions, and it came up with some interesting information. I'll just read some of it out to you. YouGov, the body that did the research, found that 1 in 5 Brits made resolutions for themselves in 2017. So, not that many people. Women are more likely to have made resolutions than men. Younger people are more likely to have made resolutions than older people. Resolutions span from losing weight, doing more exercise, saving money, improving diet, pursuing a career ambition, going for a new job, spending more time with family, taking up a new hobby, renovating your home, cutting down on drinking, cutting down on social media, volunteering, giving up smoking, raising money for charity. And this was information which the body that were doing the research got within the first week of 2017. And those were just some examples of what people had made resolutions for. And it found that within 1 week, 22% had not managed to keep the promise which they had made to themselves. And they asked, well, how many of you kept your resolution for 2016? And only 48% of people that they asked had managed to make a resolution and keep it for the whole year. So when only 20% of people in the country made a resolution, and then only half of those people actually managed to keep their resolution for the whole year, it's not a very high percentage of people being able to keep this. Can I ask you a question? Have you made a New Year's resolution? Have you made a promise to yourself? I've made a New Year's resolution, and it is to try and read the Bible more often. So why exactly would I want this to be my resolution? I could choose anything I wanted to be my resolution. I could have chose to get fit, which probably should be something that I take on board anyway. I could have chose to try and lose some weight. Rachel will agree that that should be one of my resolutions as well. Or it could be to learn something new. So why have I chosen to read an incredibly old book, which many people have forgotten about or ignore as my resolution? Why have I chose to read it more often than I do at the moment? Well, can we turn to Romans chapter 6, please? Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Now I'm just going to read the end of that verse. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is this gift of God? It is a promise from God that will definitely not be broken. The Bible teaches us that there will be a kingdom set upon this earth, and that it will last forever. And it will be an amazing time, one that our minds, our mortal minds, cannot get our heads around. So, I just want to look at a few passages about this wonderful kingdom, which is promised to us by God. Can we turn to Revelation chapter 21? Revelation 21, verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Every tear will be wiped away. No more pain at all. Compared to now, how amazing will that be? Can we turn to Isaiah chapter 35, please? Isaiah chapter 35, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 35, verses 5 to 6. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. So no more ailments, no more droughts, which will be an amazing time. Can we turn to our reading, which Tom read out for us, Psalm 72, Please. And I'll just read it out again to remind us of what it says. So, Psalm 72, verses 12 to 19. For he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy, and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. And he shall live, and the gold of Sheba will be given to him. Prayer also will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. There will be an abundance of grain in the earth, on the top of the mountains. Its fruit shall wave like Lebanon, and those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. And all men and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. So no more money problems, no more rich and poor divided. Everyone will be equal. There'll be no more famines, and there'll be immortal life. It sounds better than the world we live in at the moment, doesn't it? And for those of us that have heard these passages before, we may just glaze over them because we've heard them so many times. But the things which I've listed are huge things. And how amazing it will be to see everybody smiling, nobody having any more problems of any kind, because our gracious and loving God has taken them all away. So this is God's gift to us all, and it's his free gift to everyone who will call upon his name and believe in him. And there is an example in the book of Acts where one man's faith was so obvious that he believed in God's promise to him that he changed a family's life through his example. Can we turn to Acts chapter 16, please? So Acts chapter 16, and I'm going to read verses 25 to 33. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposed the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of God to him and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. So Paul and Silas had been thrown into jail for healing a person of an ailment which she had. And after being beaten, they were thrown into the most secure part of the prison. And instead of being down or angry about this, they started singing hymns and praising God. Praising God. How much faith did these two men have in God to do this? Do you think the jailer heard them singing and praising? Look at what he said. What must I do to be saved? And he's told what he must do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So the jailer and all his family were baptized. They all believed in God and showed their belief through baptism. They responded to God's promise. Now, I would like to look at an example of someone who is recorded in the Old Testament. Can we turn to 2 Kings chapter 20, please? I want to look at the example of Hezekiah, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 11 of 2 Kings chapter 20. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened, before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will hear you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." Then Isaiah said, "Take a lump of figs." So they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "What is the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord on the third day?" Then Isaiah said, "This is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing which he has spoken. Shall a shadow go forward 10 degrees or backward 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, "It is an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. No, but let the shadow go backward 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. So Hezekiah was a good king, arguably one of the best kings which reigned over the people of Judah. And at this time he was gravely ill. But as we've read, he humbles himself before God, doesn't he? And he prays to him. He says, "I want to carry on serving you." And because of this humble plea, that Hezekiah had made, God grants him the extra time. 15 years, to be precise. And I feel that this example shows so much about God. It shows me a God who is loving, who cares about his people, and those who put their faith and trust in him. And God keeps his promise, doesn't he? Like he always does, because of the faith and trust that Hezekiah had shown in him, towards him. And these two examples, Paul and Silas and Hezekiah, show how much faith these men had and how they acted because of the faith that they all had. One converted a family from the act of their faith, and the other example shows their trust and belief in God and shows that God keeps his promises. So our third example is of Jesus whilst he's on the cross. Can we turn to Luke chapter 18, please? Whilst Jesus was on the cross, he was putting his entire trust in God. He had told people throughout his ministry that he was going to be killed, but would be raised from the dead on the third day. Luke chapter 18, verses 31 to 33, say this. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked, and insulted, and sit upon. They will scourge him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again." Jesus trusted in God throughout his life, and this trust was tested the most whilst he was undergoing the trial and being crucified. However, because he believed in God and knew that God keeps his promises, he was able to undertake the task which God had set before him. And because he was successful, God raised him from the dead. We're staying in Luke, but we're going to head over to Luke chapter 24, verses 4 to 7. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do ye seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Now, I started off this talk by saying that I wanted to read the Bible more often because I want to be a part of God's kingdom. Well, this example, a large part of why I want, this example is a large part of why I want to keep my New Year's resolution. Jesus believed in his Father 100% and the promises he makes. And here is the ultimate example of God keeping his promise. God is a God of truth, and this example proves just that. All of these examples of Paul and the family he saved, of Hezekiah and of Jesus, showed many characteristics of how God wants us to be. And of course, Jesus was our ultimate example. I have mentioned humility a few times, so could we please turn to Micah chapter 6, please? Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? So, to be part of God's promise of that wonderful time to come, we have to try our best to show these characteristics which Micah lists. This is what God requires of us. The Bible also teaches that baptism is essential to be part of God's promise, as shown in our first example with Paul and Silas. Mark 16, verse 16 says this, you don't need to turn there. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. You have to believe and be baptized to be saved. What do you have to believe? to be baptized, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was sent on this earth and died, but that he was raised so that we may have a hope of eternal life. This act of faith shows our God that we believe on him and on his Son, and that we want to change the way we live our lives to have that wonderful hope of his kingdom. So if we follow Micah's example and the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ to the best of our ability and become baptized, we could change our lives forever. So why am I going to read the Bible more? Because that wonderful kingdom that we briefly looked at the beginning of this talk, I believe, will come to this earth. And I want to be a part of that glorious kingdom more than anything. The Bible tells us everything we need to know to be able to be a part of this kingdom. So at the end of 2017, we could start afresh. We could read God's word, or read it more, study it, put what we have read into action, and when the kingdom comes, we could be a part of that amazing kingdom. And we could change our lives forever. Or we could live for as long as we have on this earth. And that is it. No promise, no anything at the end of this life. So again, I ask, what is your New Year's resolution?